Let's turn again to Galatians 5, verse 22, and hear the word of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Heavenly Father, again, I ask your hand upon us as we open the word today. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scripture. Open our hearts and minds to receive it. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You get out and about and encounter people, you know, day in, day out sometimes. It's not uncommon to hear somebody say, so, how's it going? You know? How's it going? How do you respond? You know, most of the time, somebody says that, really, they're not really inquiring about how things are. They're really just saying hello, you know, because they don't really want to know. Now, it's not all the time. Sometimes there's genuine concern. But we've also managed to come up with an automatic response to, how's it going? Well, I'm fine. Oh, I'm okay. Things are okay. It is what it is. Liars! We all lie. You know, all the time. You know, it's the way it is. You know, we'll say that because I don't want to get into a lengthy conversation about why I'm not fine or why I'm not okay. So I'll just say fine and okay, and usually that will suffice, that they'll get out of my space, leave me alone, and go merrily on their way. And that's how, that's what we do. That's what people do, you know? Think about it. You know that's what happens. Thing is, we're not always fine. We're not always okay. Sometimes we're going through something. Sometimes we're actually enduring a trial of some sort. And we understand that that's simply a part of life. You know, it's not as simple when you're going through it, but it is a part of life. When Solomon penned the Ecclesiastes, what did he tell us? In Ecclesiastes 3, he says, you know, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. When was the last time you went dancing? I know, Heather, you're associated with Baptists, and that's totally against. I get it. But, you ever stay? You ever stub your toe? I tell you, you go get some dancing done. Whatever the circumstance in that we're going through, as Christian people, those circumstances should not dictate our sense of joy, the sense of joy that we have in our lives. Paul said in Philippians, he said to rejoice in the Lord always. So whatever we're doing, you know, day to day, or the things that we find ourselves in, you know, he's telling us to have joy. Have joy. And we see this listed as one of the fruits of the Spirit that he gives us to look at and try to use as a guide to see how we're doing in life. There was a real sense of joy, I think, nationwide when our Supreme Court overturned a vile law. You know, what the other side doesn't want to understand, because they have more devious purposes, is that overturning did not eliminate the practice of killing babies. What it did do was send it back to the states, and so state by state can decide. Well, and if you know anything from your civics or whatever, the closer the government gets to home, the more they have to pay attention because the closer they are to the people. When these people sit in Washington, D.C., they're miles away. They don't care. They don't care what you think. They really don't. You know, we send them as our quote unquote representative. They don't represent. They're there to make a buck and to do whatever they want to do. You know? So anyway, but with that ruling, there was, and rightfully so, there was a sense of joy in the land. There were over 63 million babies that died as a result of that pronouncement by those evil men back in 1973. You know, 63 million babies plus, 63 million plus. And so now that is going to taper. That's going to shrink down. But that plague, if you would, will still continue in places. And my prayer is, hey, you go to New York, you go to California, and that happens, I pray to God will take those places right off the land. We might be able to see the new Grand Canyon where New York used to be. Yeah. And our West Coast will be just a little bit closer, you know, because California is swimming somewhere. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. The word, the Greek word chara, means cheerfulness or calm delight. Calm delight. Webster, I love that guy. But man, oh man, did he have time on his hands. You know? Look at how many definitions he can come up with for one word. But he did say about joy, he said, it's the passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of good. That means that's good, you know? Yeah. Also define delight, because joy is calm delight. What is delight? Delight is a higher degree of pleasure or satisfaction of mind. Delight is a more permanent pleasure than joy, and it's not dependent on sudden excitement, something like that. I kind of like this idea because it's truer when we consider the source of our joy. The source of our joy is in Christ, and it doesn't get better than that. It doesn't get more exciting than that, for the Christian anyway. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. It is an attribute that belongs to God. It tells us it's the fruit of the Spirit. It belongs to God. The Spirit is God. Nehemiah, he said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. He didn't say my joy. He said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We might set up a stand somewhere along, you know, Route 45 or there, you know, say it's, we're going to sell produce. We might have some of the best apples ever to set out there. They are big and they are sweet and they are juicy and everybody wants our apples. We didn't produce the apples. You know who gets the right credit for those apples is the tree. God ultimately, but the tree produced the apple. We just display them. Yeah. And we tell people, stop in, and for $10, we'll give you 2 apples. It's prices, you know, inflation. In the same regard, just as that tree is the one responsible for producing those apples, we don't manufacture this joy on our own. This isn't of our own doing. We don't have to sit around like some transcendental meditation guy and contemplate our navels and somehow work up this joy. You know, that's not for us. You know, Christ is the source. The Holy Spirit, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit in our lives, displays that fruit through us. We're not doing things on our own. Spurgeon said, all the attributes of God become wellsprings of joy to the thoughtful, contemplative believer. You know, that old guy, he was smart. Yeah, he was smart. He was a Baptist, so I'd have to fight with him about baptism. But, you know, he was a smart guy. He said, he cannot lie. He is true to his promise. He is all love, and at the same time, he is infinitely just. He is supremely holy. The power of God. Get it? The power of God is my protection. His wisdom is my guidance. His faithfulness is my foundation. His grace is my salvation. To know that he is no longer an angry judge that's pursuing us with some kind of a drawn sword, but a loving Father in whose bosom we pour our sorrows and find ease for every pang of heart. To know that God actually loves us. Can we not have joy when we contemplate those thoughts, when we get those ideas engrafted into our hearts? We are depraved creatures loved by a holy God. That's good news. We need to take that to heart and chew on that and come to a greater understanding by God's grace to know more about him and how he cares for us. He loves us so much, in fact, that he brings us into a familial relationship or family. We are, as Christians, the sons and daughters of God. In Christ, one family. And there are different nuances in that relationship. As Christ is our King. And yet he's also our older brother. Christ is our older brother. He's our King. We serve him. We worship him. But he's also our older brother. And we are heirs with him in his kingdom. Now, you see, I don't have physically any older brothers. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it is what it is. And some of y'all do have older brothers. And I don't even know what you think about them. They may be good, they may be bad, you know, whatever. Whatever your relationship is with them, you can't really count it because when you're comparing it to Christ, because Christ doesn't have anything that you can be mad at him about. You know? That's a wonderful expression of God's grace to us. We're all kin. What other reason do you need to express joy in this life? You're related to Christ. That should move you a little bit. Doesn't mean you go around all the time walking on the clouds and say, oh. But it does give you a source of constant joy. Joy is not giddiness. Joy is deep. And it comes from our faith in Him. You may say that I'm infinitely grateful for God's love for me, for His mercy. But this life is full of uncertainty. I know that someday all is going to be good. All is going to be fine. I'm going to be in a sinless world. I'll have a full head of hair. I may even stand 6 feet. Who knows? But, all that, maybe, Okay, so that carnal fantasy got thrown in there, but just regard it, But the life that we live now, this world in which we live now, has some uncertainty. We don't know what the dementia patient in the White House is going to do tomorrow. He'll do whatever his wife sticks in front of him. Sign this, Joey. But Spurgeon said this. He said, if I am in doubt concerning tomorrow, there is a worm at the root of my peace. The prophet Habakkuk wrote this. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So it doesn't matter what Uncle Joe does tomorrow. Our joy is in the Lord. Our confidence is in God Almighty. We don't know exactly the paths that each one of us walk individually. We don't know where we're going to go tomorrow. We think we're going to do tomorrow. We think we know what we're going to do this afternoon. But we don't know where God is leading us. Perfectly. We have a general idea of where God is leading us. The church, universal, has certainly been tried before. The church of God has certainly undergone persecutions and difficulties. The church is currently being purged. Let there be no doubt about it. The church is being purged in this hour. Sometimes the blemishes pop up and they're very obvious. When you get a guy that stands before the Southern Baptist Convention and tells everybody how great he is, how he's trained over 1 million ministers on his own, more than all the seminaries. When he's planted more than 70,000 churches, baptized more than 50,000 people. How do you keep record of that? And why would you? I don't believe John the Baptist walked around with 3x5 cards saying, okay, I'm going to baptize you today. Could you fill this out for me, please? a long list of all their great accomplishments. God, in His grace, allowed us to through His Word. But we certainly didn't see anything the apostles did. We didn't see anything that Jesus did. Make no doubt a mistake, the church is being purged. Bring us through that. Make us better. Make us purer. And that's not only across each of us individually. You have faith in God. If your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, understand this. The evil one don't like you. You're not going to skate through life. You are going to have times of trial. And in those times, you need the joy of the Lord. And as He indwells you, that fruit can be evident. With our joy in Christ, we understand that He is unchangeable. With our joy in Christ, we understand we are assured of eternal life. What did Jesus say? He said, they didn't find it on the newsstand somewhere. I give them eternal life. And what? They shall never perish. I shall give them eternal life. They shall never perish. And then, so He didn't leave anything out? What did He add? Neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand. If Christ saved you, you are saved. He says, nobody's taking you away from Him. Oh, there's a source of joy. There's a place to go in our thinking. Our future is secure, regardless of what we see here. Our future is secure. And God's plan for your life will be accomplished. Paul, again writing to Philippians, said, He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. He who began a good work in you will, not might complete it. He who began a good work in you changed His mind. He who began a good work in you will complete it. Have joy. Have a sense of joy. David, we read this morning in Psalm 16, said, in your presence is the fullness of joy. We may not walk every day, everywhere, in the fullness of joy. Yet we won't be without it. As Christ lives in us, His Spirit lives in us, joy is a natural outgrowth of that. You will have that. But in His presence is the fullness of joy. I wonder what that's all about. To stand, to kneel in the presence, the physical presence of Almighty God, and experience that kind of joy. I can hear my mother laughing And once she started, it was hard to get her to quit. If our joy is shallow, it's imperative that we spend more time at the source. You can't stay away from the fountain assuming that you'll never get thirsty. More time at the source. In Genesis 5, we have the highlight of a man's life. I mean, it's only a couple of verses long. But we're told that Enoch walked with God. That is so meaty. That little bit of a verse. When you start to think, Enoch walked with God. He lived his life with God. Day in, day out. When he woke up, when he went to bed, he was all about God. Well, he must have been a perfect human being. Do you know what? You know, I want to tell you the truth. Enoch had a sin nature. Enoch was not a perfect human being. But he walked with God. And God, in his grace, didn't let him see death. Do you know what so many in the modern church would say today? Well, that's not fair. Either everybody dies or nobody dies. Hey, that's the world we live in. Yeah? That's not fair. Oh, you know, he must have been a real goody two shoes. Probably didn't even wear shoes. But God took him. What kind of life must that be? To have that kind of fellowship constantly with God. Isn't that something that we should desire? Isn't that something that we should work toward? It doesn't mean you're going to get it. You understand? But God in his grace causes us to grow. God in his grace draws us along, takes us to that point. What kind of joy must that have been? How about the disciples? What kind of joy must have they experienced as they sat about a table breaking bread with our Lord? Or as they walked the fields and ministered to people and heard him teaching them day in and day out. What kind of joy? What kind of thrill did they have to speak directly to the King of Kings? When was the last time you had an audience with the president? Believe me, today would be no great shakes, but you know what I'm saying? We're not going to have the physical experience those men had. But we can have many of the same experiences. Jesus gave his church teachers to carry out his work. And we're taught by them the Word of God. When we study the Word on our own, we're receiving the same messages that the disciples got. Encounter. Hear the Spirit as we read them. We have the privilege of breaking bread with Jesus every single week. We don't sit around a table. And yet Christ, not physically, is with us as we participate. Never, ever, ever allow the Lord's Supper to become mere ritual to you. This token is a feast indeed that we have with Jesus Christ. Never be lax in your thinking towards the sacrament. He gave it as an important part of our life. We have the opportunity to speak to God whenever we want. Isn't that amazing? I know I'm smacking Uncle Joe a lot this morning, but you know what? You can't walk into his place anytime you want to and talk to him. Not that he could understand you if you did, but you know, you just can't do that. I can't walk into the city hall and talk to the mayor anytime I want. I can't walk in and see a Bristolville trustee anytime I want. But I can go to Almighty God anytime I want. And he outranks them. They ultimately will yield to him. And he opens the door and says, come on in to his children. Talk to me. Anytime we want. Anytime we want. That's important. All of these things should add to our joy. All of those should bolster us, should encourage us. Jesus said in John 15, and I'll wrap this up. Jesus said, the things that he's spoken to, he did that your joy may be full. He cares about that. He gladly ministers to you. He said, keep my commandments. Love one another. Have fellowship with God. Have fellowship with his church. Do the things that he asks of us. And his grace is abundant and draws us into him. So that your joy might be full. Let's pray.